Hello, this is Time for Success, Business Owner Dad's Edition with Matt Barbie. And I have a special guest here, David Woods with David E. Woods Law. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm terrific, Matt. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for being on the show. Would you mind explaining to the audience like who you are and what you do?
Yes, I would be glad to do that, Matt.
Thank you.
I'm a lawyer. Right now, I help people to avoid the perils of probate and to do that with things that avoid the perils of probate, such as trust and other type of non-probate transfers like beneficiary deeds and durable powers of attorney for health care and more lawyer language. But the main, and I also help people become small businesses, whether that be a limited liability company, a regular corporation, or even a sole proprietorship. But what I do is help people to leave a good legacy so that when they pass away, their children will rise up and call them blessed, and also help people to have business structures now that will protect their hard-earned money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's important. And, you know, we were kind of talking before a little bit about how key it is. You know, a lot of people, they don't understand probate. They don't understand all the risks that, you know, they work hard. I mean, you know, most of the listeners for this show are business owners, and they work hard to create, like you said, you know, a legacy. But if your legacy, for some reason, probate takes a good chunk out of it, or, you know, you don't have that set up right, I can imagine that can be just a nightmare. I mean, are there some examples of some nightmares that you've seen?
Unfortunately, I have horror stories that I can tell you.
Yeah.
Statistically, I have read that only one out of every three people has some type of writing in place at the time they pass away. So that means two out of three people, two out of three, 20 out of 100, and do not have something. And what that does is that leaves chaos for the family. It is far better for a person to hire a lawyer, tell that lawyer what they want to have done, and then have that put into clearly understandable and enforceable words. Because when a person dies and they don't have a will or a trust or have any of these pay on death or transfer on death designations, the state of Missouri has a plan. And people may not like that plan.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
I am a great believer that we all have a lifetime.
Right.
To make decisions about what we're going to do with ourselves,
right,
the property that we have. And when we fail to exercise that right that we have to provide a way for our property to pass, then the government's involved. And the government is the government. And some people don't have anything at all. And then their relatives are left to fight. And then their relatives are left to pay what could have been paid out by the person during their own lifetime and then re-earned and not have a drain on the assets that pass.
Right. So, I mean, basically what you're saying is, like, you know, the plan can take a big chunk out of whatever assets you're trying to pass. If you got a business, I can imagine that that causes a lot of, if you don't have a clear plan for how ownership transfers and all that, I'm sure that can be a mess.
That is a mess. Then raiding parties appear. Someone has a business. They went to the Secretary of State's website and they thought they became a limited liability company for paying their $50 by credit card and getting a beautiful four-color piece of paper, which does not make them protected with a limited liability company. And then relatives show up and they just go through and pick up a wrench, drive a car away, pick up tools, pick up stock.
Yeah.
And who's going to say put that down or have an accounting of it? Who's going to make sure that that business owner stuff got passed to the people that he wanted?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is nobody.
Right.
And that's probably not what the business owner wanted.
Right.
And you talk about a chunk. Estate planning doesn't cost as much as people think it does.
Right.
You can go through, had a probate case open. It was already open. Fellow called up and said, well, we found another $100,000 checking account that's in dead mom's name only. Probate's only for when there's only dead people's names on the title. That is your key. Okay. It was in dead mom's name only. What's the attorney's fee on a $100,000 certificate deposit? About $3,000.
Okay.
For that and a little bit more, a person can have a full-blown trust that will pass their property without going through probate, that will pass their property without the cost of probate. Probate costs 5 to 10% off the top. You can earn that back in your lifetime. Your kids can't earn that because you're dead. Your earning capacity ended.
Yeah.
Also, probate takes a minimum of 10 and a half months in our state.
Oh, my God. A minimum of almost a year?
Almost a year. It can take longer depending on if there's people that want to fight because nobody had a will. And, of course, post-it notes on the piano are not legally enforceable.
What if they're, like, hidden underneath the piano lid? Is that...
Neither enforceable either. Post-it notes can be moved. They can be changed. And there's no signing requirements or witness requirements that have been met. So that's a terrible way to...
Even if you get a notary stamp on your post-it, that's still not going to...
That won't cut it
either. Still not going to do it,
no,
huh?
No, not at all. Do-it-yourself
all right.
things are not good.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
I don't change my own oil, and I hire somebody to do that.
Right, right. That's fair.
Why should I then trust that I'm going to be able to do it myself if I'm not an attorney, and it's going to successfully work?
Well, I mean, yes. Of course... I would assume that developing a trust is probably a little bit more complicated. Now, I'm not knocking mechanics because, you know, you get into troubleshooting and some of the more intense issues, you got to love them, right? But creating a trust is slightly more complicated than changing oil. Is that fair to say?
Well, I stopped changing my oil back in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. So... yes, creating a trust is probably more complicated than changing your oil. You can read about changing your oil in a manual from the public library.
Right.
And if you're not successful, you immediately know.
Right.
If you have your own do-it-yourself estate plan, how will you know if you were successful?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my point to even, like, you know, changing the oil. Some people think that, okay, well, I just... find a form online and I'm just going to write it up. It's got to be kind of simple as that. You know, I kind of make a list of my assets and say they all go to this person. But, you know, even though it seems as simple as changing the oil, just like, hey, you know, I'm having an issue with my car. Maybe I just need to change out the air filter, right? But, you know, you might not know that you're actually causing more damage, you know, to, you know, the intake or something like that, unless you actually have a mechanic look at it rather than just, you know, guessing it.
So. I see your point. Have the expert take a look at it.
Right, right.
The thing I was trying to make the point of is if you don't fix your car, you know about it.
Right,
you
right.
can spend more money at the problem.
Right.
But when you've passed away, you can't fix anything. You cannot tell people what your intention was.
That is an excellent point. Yes, when you're passed away, it's too late.
You want people to rise up and call you blessed, not rise up and say, Dad was an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe it's just very, very ill-informed. So when we look at success, because you're a business owner father.
Yes.
And you've got a lovely wife as well.
Yes.
So you're a family man, you know, all around. When you've looked at success for yourself, being an attorney can be tough, especially if you have to go to trial and court and balancing all the time. How do you now, and how have you defined success for, you know, your life in totality?
Well, I can break that into two things. Let's put success in business and success at home.
Okay.
Success at home. Success at home was when Team Woods, that's my wife and I, work together.
Love it.
We plan out what we're going to do. We execute the plan. We celebrate after we're done. That's success at home.
Yeah.
Success in the office is when my clients are successful.
That's good.
I've developed this three initial thing. E for equality, U for understandable, and F for freedom. Equality under the law. None of our Missouri statutes say you have to have X amount of dollars in order to become a limited liability company. The same protections for a one-person, four-person limited liability company are the same for the big companies that have more money and better marketing than some of us can even dream of. They're successful because they had equal access and equal protection under the law. The other way the clients are successful is because they have easy-to-understand documents. I don't let people sign stuff unless they can tell back to me what it is.
Yeah.
Now, I don't expect it in detail,
mm-hmm.
but it's like when my mother-in-law asked me to create a revocable living trust for her. Heck, that's a mouthful of legalese right there. She wanted a document that would avoid probate, have things passed to her children as soon as possible, as soon as she stepped into eternity. And she was able to explain that to another lawyer. I couldn't. Patty then lived in Springfield, Missouri. Deborah was with her. They went to another lawyer. The lawyer quizzed Patty. Now, what does this trust do? How does it operate? Who does it leave it to? Who's your successor trustee? Patty was able to reply to all those things. The other way that, so, you know, documents have to be understandable.
Yeah.
You don't need to call a lawyer in my humble opinion, to interpret what that durable power of attorney for health care says.
Right.
When the doctors look across your loved one, here's the loved one, you're in the ER, this is the bed, and they look across at you and say, well, what do you want? What does your parent want you to do now that two of us have said that they're going to die no matter what?
Yeah.
We do. You got to have a document that you can look at that your parent made and say, I clearly understand what they want. Follow this writing.
Right, right. So you help on the business side, you help make sure that everybody's got the understandable documents. They know what's going to be happening. And that's a measure of success for you.
Oh, yeah.
That they get it.
Right. And then they call up the children, all the adult children call up and say, everything worked.
That's great.
I want to hire you, David.
Right.
Do for me what you did for my folks.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And that falls under the F. It's the freedom to choose.
Yeah.
Don't let the state determine where your property goes.
Mm-hmm.
Make your own choice. Because what the state has is something you may not like. And that gets into family stories and horrendous things and nah.
Right.
No, I don't want to share.
Ties things up. So you want, in business, you want to help, you know, even the little guy or gal feel that they have equal protection under the law. So
yes.
It's done right.
Yes.
Otherwise, they don't have that equal protection because it's not done right. And then you want to make sure they get it, they understand it. And then they've got, you know, freedom because they're not bound by all the pitfalls of, you know, probate or, you know, issues of passing the business over or any of those kind of things.
It
creates a freedom for their, well, they can feel more free because they're not worrying about it. But then also when they pass, their family is free to maybe even grieve and, you know, do what they need to do to get through that difficult time rather than worrying about all these legal difficulties.
You're right. You mentioned that. It was a textbook situation, which I'm so proud of.
Yeah.
My friend and I had worked on getting about, if he had one, he had 25 rental properties to get those put into the name of the trust. My friend passed away. I'm standing in line at the funeral. The adult son leaves the casket. The family comes out, shakes my hand, says, thank you. It all worked. We don't have to worry about the finances. We can grieve.
Wow.
And this is what we need to be doing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And it's what they teach us to do in law school.
Yeah.
But when it happens, it's so rewarding. I mean, that was a successful thing. My friend trusted me. We got everything worked out. And it all worked. And the law worked for these folks, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were happy. I was happy. And the rental property business went on.
So they didn't have to fight the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the law won, but they also won.
Correct.
Right. So going back to Team Woods.
Yes.
So Team Woods. You know, I know that you and your wife have great communication just from our conversations that we've had in the past. And you guys talk a lot. So I'm sure you guys have kind of talked about goals and ambitions and now and then when, you know, you were raising your daughter?
Son.
Son.
Ryan.
I'm so sorry.
He's our only child.
Yes, Ryan. So when you were raising Ryan, you know, what did that look like? Were you wanting to travel more? Were you just trying to, hit certain, goals to raise him with? I mean, did you do homeschooling? Like what did that look like for success for the family?
Success for the family. That success isn't what has happened now. What mm-hmm. has happened since maybe November 2 years ago. I have permission to tell all of this.
Okay.
Ryan was a special needs child in that he had double vision in both eyes. Throwing the baseball, there were always two coming at him.
Wow.
He had ADHD. He could vibrate out of his chair. He had coding difficulties. He'd look at something and he couldn't write down his name when he saw it in print without a lot of difficulty. Anything he could hear in a lecture format, he could say back out.
Okay.
But so we had to work with our son and be patient and be encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And when he would say things to one of Deborah's supervisors there at the counseling office, I'm afraid I'm going to be illiterate. And the supervisor said, if your 5-year-old son knows how to use the word illiterate correctly, he is not going to be illiterate. Ryan was able to, in a lecture format, he could retain it. He could say it one time to the proctor and get A's.
Wow.
Took Thomas Jefferson 5 times to write the Declaration of Independence, and he had the help of Ben Franklin and John Adams, and Ryan Oak, and just dictate it the first time. He is now a well-respected and well-loved shift manager at a restaurant chain. The 20-year-olds look up to him. He has the confidence of his manager. Ryan can talk to anyone. He can encourage other people, and he says that's because we encouraged him. He can interact with anybody because he learned how to interact with people watching his mom and I. I tell you folks out there that you have difficult children. My wife says you just don't give up on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Just don't give up on them. And we didn't give up on son.
Right, right. Well, it's great that you were able to find the time to be able to work with him and help him to get through school and learn how to interact with people despite the difficulties, not just his own, personal challenges, but, being at court and in trial. And then your wife, she's a psychologist, right?
She's a licensed professional counselor.
A counselor.
Yes.
Okay. And so her hours probably have varied quite a bit.
Well, that's the one nice thing about her being self-employed at that time after she left the community health center.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan could come over to her office, do his thing on the computer. The computer became an extension of him.
Yeah.
He was able to learn how to spell, how to slowly enter data. When I saw the first computer program that he wrote that had a rocket on the screen using DOS. DOS,
wow.
Ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know if DOS exists anymore. But we just had to spend the time and invest.
Yeah.
And keep telling him that he was smart, which he was. I'm sure all parents say that, of course.
It still is.
Yeah. Yeah. But we would change our hours around to work with him.
So having your own businesses kind of gave you that additional flexibility. And you, I think, had mentioned there's pictures of you, with Ryan. Was it like in the courtroom or something like that? Or
no,
what was it?
No, this is my get back from court. We would go to the beach, which was really just having a small wading pool. Maybe it was could be 6 or 8 inches deep. We had some type of a sprinkler, and this was 35mm experimental film out of some other state, and the pictures were beautiful because you could capture the water Deborah was for the photographer, and Ryan's throwing a pail of water right into my face, and there I am like this, and you can see the water and how beautiful it is in the air. Probably a second before it splashed me.
Right.
But that's all right.
So what you guys did was you just found ways to have fun with what you had. You didn't necessarily have to go on that fancy vacation to the beach, because your big priorities were not necessarily about, you know, making all the money and becoming, you know, instant millionaires or anything like that. It was that freedom to be able to spend time, raise your son right, you know, and give him the support and the love and everything that he needed, that every kid needs. And so, you know, your going to the beach was just a plastic pool in the backyard.
And then later on, then we actually went to some real beaches
right.
on both sides of the United States.
Right. Well, yeah, as businesses grow and eventually you get more consistent revenue and all that. But in the early days, I'm sure. Now, did you guys both go into business about the same time for yourselves, or how did that look?
No, I was working for the State of Missouri Public Defender System in the 1980s when we lived in Poplar Bluff.
Okay.
Left that, moved to, Deborah already had opened up her own private practice.
Okay, so she went in business first for herself.
Right. And then when we moved from Missouri to the St. Louis area, that's when I decided, after working for somebody for a while, I said, oh, I want to be my own boss.
Right.
I want to have the freedom to join you here, Matt, on your radio show. I want to have the freedom if I need to work till 8 o'clock at night. Great. I want to have the freedom if it's a Monday or Tuesday morning. Let's not go to work. Let's play.
Right. Well, that's great. Well, and then you could play with your son. How old was he when you went into business for yourself?
Gee, it's a math problem, ladies and gentlemen.
And I told you I wasn't going to put you on the spot. My bad.
Wow, let's see. I went into business for myself in 93. So, nope, we don't do math here. That's why.
Nope, that's all right. That's all right.
That's why Hewlett-Packard invented calculators. That's why we don't do math.
That's all right. So, but I, you know, I love it because, you know, especially nowadays, everybody's trying to beat the Joneses, right? You know, you're trying to, you know, the measure of success for a lot of people is, and why I started this show was, you know, hey, you know, my success is my, you know, business, especially for men, you know, they identify with their profession, their careers, their businesses as success. But, you know, when we really take the time to step back, I love what you did. You did what you had to do with the time that you had between court and, you know, clients. You had fun with what you had.
Oh, I'd swing by Ryan's grade school in the afternoon. I just thought, Ryan would like to see me right now.
Right.
So I knew the principal, stopped in, said, hi, can I have walk down to his class? And I'd go see little Ryan, pat him on the back, knew the teacher. It was very nice. Did that on several occasions. Ryan remembers that.
That's great.
He remembers those times.
And you know, even if he didn't necessarily remember all those times, it still left him with a sense of support and love and, you know, a great father figure in his life, you know, that I'm sure carry. I mean, it was foundational for him, and it will, you know, definitely continue to affect who he is and how he treats and loves other people as well.
You're correct.
So I wanted to circle back a little bit because, I mean, we're getting kind of close on time. And this is actually something very, very important for a lot of the people that are going to be listening, watching. And so it's great to have you on the show in terms of, you know, protecting what they pass on to their families. And we don't, I mean, our lives have an expiration date, but it's not stamped on us. We don't know what that is.
No person knows the time.
Right. So it can happen at any point. I mean, what are some basic, easy ways? Maybe somebody can't do a full-blown trust right now, but what are some basic ways that you can kind of help them out, you know, and just getting some things secure?
First thing, find out how your property is titled.
Okay.
Because what I said was, is probate is only for when there are dead people's names on the title.
Okay.
All right. Find your deed. If you can find it, call somebody up at the courthouse, the recorder of deeds office, and they'll, for a fee, they'll be happy to find it and mail it to you. Go to your bank and actually ask, how about the titles on our checking account? If they say it's in the man's name only and he dies first, which statistically we will, that account's going to go through probate. Why? Because there's only a dead person's name on it. Get at least two people's names on it. That's not going to be a solver, ultimately.
Okay.
But it is a start. Find out how it's titled. Make sure there's two people's names on it. Make it payable or transfer it on death. Call up a lawyer. Talk to lawyers until you feel comfortable. And then say, what can I do to really protect myself and for anything that might happen?
Wow. Now, that's phenomenal. So, David, I want to make sure, too, that they folks here today know how to reach out to you. What's a good way to reach out to you?
Call my cell phone, 636-448-1748. Again, that's 636-448-1748. Check me out at my website, www.davideewoods.com. Real simple.
Yeah, that's simple enough. All right. Well, thank you, David. I really appreciate having you on the show today. And I think that what you've said is going to help definitely a lot of people pass on that legacy correctly. This was Matt Barbee with Time for Success, Business Owner Dad's Edition. Thank you very much for listening.